Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return. I win if I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict. I'm a clowning with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict. Russell
Rocky.
Other names. Trade Addicts Pod.
I am Rocky Petrella, and
let's
I
go.
Have a trading problem.
I am Andrew Hall, and I have a trading problem.
I am Shane Barrett. I definitely have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 321 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. I'm not even trying that, Andrew. And we will, because I will totally get it wrong. I'll go the wrong way. So,
always.
Yeah, exactly. So, again, this is a restless week this week, but we have one of my fellow junkies in as usual. It's almost always Tommy or Andrew or Scott here. We got Andrew this week. Andrew, how you doing tonight?
Hey, glad to be here. It's been a month or so since I've been on Trade Addicts, and anytime I can come on, I'm glad to come on. I don't mind being part of the B team. You know what I mean? Like, this is exactly where I belong on Trade Addicts.
Yeah. Love having you guys come and fill in for us every other week. But we also have a great guest tonight that we want to talk to. Shane, why don't you tell everybody who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Love Trade Addicts. Love being a part of the show. You guys can find me on Twitter, X, or Elon Musk's Funhouse, as I like to call it, at FFShaneB. And I am the founder of Polly's Playoff. It is a charity tournament to end Alzheimer's. And this year I started a podcast for Polly's Playoff called Polly's Playoff Features, where I am interviewing different members of the tournament and discussing fantasy football and their experience with Alzheimer's. So I think we are 5 episodes deep so far. Need to finish editing the 6th. Don't tell my mom. And... yeah, that's the main thing. I also am a ranker for Roto Heat and should have more content coming out for Roto Heat during the season. Just kind of ironing out what that looks like. So you can follow me on Twitter at FFShaneB.
Nice. And yes, I'll accept Elon's Funhouse, but it's definitely Twitter. Anybody says X, I correct them.
Yeah.
Not X, it's Twitter. Anyway, we'll get right into it tonight. Of course, Frank brings us the news. As usual this time of year, not a lot of it is real news. A couple things at the top here, I guess, sort of are. And then he's got his camp tidbits he gives us. Kind of got a little hot yesterday, or it was maybe 2 days ago, Brandon Ayuk saying in a TikTok video to Jaden Daniels that the Niners don't want him back. Could still be negotiating tactics, but an Ayuk Higgins free agent class is going to be something. That's Frank's commentary. Speaking of T. Higgins signs his franchise tender and will show up to camp. No long-term deal expected, and he's not holding out any longer. Trevor Lawrence, 5-year, $275 million extension, $200 mil guaranteed, $142 at signing. And Frank's comment is, people smarter than me look through the deal, and there are some outs along the way if he hasn't lived up to it, which is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Broncos, RBs, and McLaughlin having the best camp. I guess we're now already getting into the camp tidbits, even though he puts that a little lower. Mentions Javonte could be a cut candidate, ? At this point, he says he'd be fine with Javonte getting cut. Going somewhere is a chance to compete. Jonathan Brooks may not be ready for training camp, which is not too much of a surprise given the injury. We knew they would be patient, but Frank has a question here. We'll get to that in a minute. Let me just finish reading off the rest of the camp tidbits he has. Tyrone Tracy, already getting work with the starters, just passing down back to the Giants. Luke McCaffrey taking some handoffs in camp. And I guess Frank is talking about himself in the third person here because he says Frank was right. He's taking the Curtis Samuel role. And Joe Burrow should be ready for the start of the season, which is obviously not a big thing for Dynasty, but good to hear he's getting healthy. So first I'll ask Frank's question, and then maybe we'll get into a couple of the other pieces of news, which on the Jonathan Brooks news, Frank asked, if you're a Brooks holder, are you buying Chuba right now as insurance? Are either of you interested in doing that, Jane?
Not if I already have Brooks, not really, which is very off. Like, normally I'm like, I don't care if I have my own handcuff. Like, I'll handcuff my own running backs pretty much all the time. But Chuba is one of those guys where he feels like he's just such a fill-in that I don't see him being a threat once Jonathan Brooks is fully healthy.
Yeah, what about you? Put that. Yeah. I mean, I'll just say this way. If you're really that worried about Brooks as a rookie and not being ready for training camp and all of this, you should have already had Chuba, right? Like, I don't think this moves the needle for me. It doesn't make me want to get Chuba. It doesn't. I mean, there was actually somebody in one of my home leagues that was like, oh, Chuba's going to get all the carries this year. They're not going to give him to Jonathan Brooks at all. And I was like, well, that's a take, you know, like, I don't think that's accurate. I would kind of like what you said there, Shane. I wouldn't be surprised if they take a couple of weeks and kind of let Jonathan get good, let Brooks kind of get up to speed, so to speak, yeah. And then, you know, cut over. But that, I mean, that should have already been your plan. If you're really that nervous and really that skittish, you should have had Chuba anyway.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and I'm not big on getting, like, having Chuba as insurance anyway. I'm not really trying to handcuff running backs. I kind of subscribe to the J.J. Zacharyson theory that I want handcuffs for other people's running backs and not my own running backs. So I wouldn't be that worried about it. If I drafted Brooks, and I have drafted Brooks in a few places, I wasn't necessarily expecting him to be gangbusters to start the year anyway. I mean, even with running backs, I don't think you should be depending on for your draft pick to necessarily be like a major, major contributor for you. I mean, maybe if you drafted Caleb Williams 101 or something like that. But even then, I mean, we know he's starting, but to be depending on that to fill out your lineup is probably iffy at best, even at the top of the draft. So
I just hope you have better options. Yeah.
Frank says by insurance, I'm more meant for the first few weeks before Brooks gets healthy, but the answers make sense. And that's without, like, I would subscribe more to what Andrew said. I would hope that I would already have, like, somebody besides Brooks and Chuba that I could
get Zach Moss, go get James Conner. You know, there's a bunch of those guys out there that I think a lot of people are, like, Alvin Kamara, people are just throwing him away at this point. Like, if you're really that worried, go get one of those guys, because then you might get a running back for the whole season, as opposed to someone like Chuba who might die off when Brooks turns it on. I'd rather have Brooks and that other guy, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know who's going to come out of the Vegas backfield, but I'm taking shots on all of them. Like,
Zamir White. Yep.
Dylan Lobby, maybe Alexander Mattison if I'm really desperate, but he's a trash can, so.
Yeah. And some of the other pieces of news, one of the more interesting ones to me is the whole Javonte thing.
Oh, man.
I don't get that.
I don't either.
Do you think it's realistic that he could actually be a cut candidate?
I personally don't, and I've never been the biggest Javonte guy. I know that's a question for later, but I've been buying and drafting Javonte a lot this offseason because the price has gotten low enough where I'm like, yeah, give me that.
Yeah. That's kind of where I'm at too. I think there was a time where Javonte was like a top five running back for like a couple of weeks in Dynasty, and then he tailed off and got hurt and everything else. But now if somebody is wanting out based on this news and will take a third for him, I will happily pay a third. Or if they want like a Josh Palmer or something, like, even. Exactly. Like I'm happy to get, so that's another terrific option. Even if you're worried about Brooks, go get Javonte.
Yeah.
Even if he does get cut, he lands somewhere. And who needs a running back? Dallas? Come on. Like, there's still plenty of teams that would love to have that kind of talent on their team. So I'm not really that scared at this time of the year this stage of the season, but those do tend to have a little bit of nuggets of truth to them. You know, those things don't bubble up out of nowhere, but at the same time, I don't trust it.
Yeah, and you made one of the points I was going to make, and that Frank sort of did, is that if he gets cut, that might almost be better. Like, there's lot of situations that are better than the Denver Broncos backfield at this point, I feel like. So,
well, and there could be an injury that we don't even know about yet, right? Like, we're talking, I hate to say that, but like, I feel like every year there's some running back that gets hurt in the preseason, and it's like, dang, that guy, you know, I just don't want to see it happen. So,
Frank is in here, man.
Frank mentions Javonte on the Chargers would be amazing. I agree with Andrew. If Dallas were to sign him, that would be great. I mean, if he is a cut candidate, I almost think that could be better for him. I'm not a big Bo Nix guy. And who's the other guy there? Stidham? Or I don't even remember.
Zach Wilson.
Oh, that's right. Zach Wilson's there now.
I think Stidham might still be there.
Bo Nix, right?
I'm saying if Bo Nix doesn't start for some reason.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, you did.
Yeah. I don't even remember who's there. Some career backup plus Bo Nix plus Zach Wilson, who should never touch a football field again. So, Frank's just Denver's like five backs and none of them are great. So, anything else you guys want to talk about here? I figured we might maybe get into Ayuk with one of the trades that we have here.
Definitely going to bring up Ayuk later. So,
Trevor Lawrence, T. Higgins, any of these other guys, or are you ready to move on?
No, the only thing that I have to say is, of course, Luke McCaffrey is taking some handoffs in camp. Of course. It's just...
Of course he is. Yeah. That's what they do in that team, right? Come on.
Yeah. And that's what they do in that family.
That's right.
They're just good football players.
There you go. Okay, then. Well, then normally we give the guests the choice, but since there's only one listener question, I'm thinking we get that out of the way first, and then we'll move on to the trades. From our one listener question comes from at DFF underscore S Jonathan 02. I had asked, Russell always asked a random question at the end. And since this was a big outhouse challenge week, I asked in the tweet if you would ever do the outhouse challenge. And Jonathan says no on doing the outhouse challenge. Folks are crazy out here. I'm not strong enough for that. Andrew, have you done it before?
Oh, I've done it multiple times. I love it.
Okay.
I love it. It's the perfect amount of chaos, especially in some leagues that get kind of quiet. Like, I've got a couple that, the chat has been dead for 2 months and everybody's just busy with other things. It's a really fun way to liven the league back up and to kind of kick it back into gear. Cause then you get people sending offers, not necessarily that they think you would accept, but that Elon's Twitter sphere would accept. And that's a whole game. And that's what Jonathan's saying here. He's like, I can't leave it to Twitter to decide that.
Yeah,
it does take a little bit of let go and let God in a sense, but it is fun. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, and that's what it's for, mostly for fun. Russ has said this because he did it last week too, and had a couple trades on here from that. And he said, and I agree, this is not necessarily going to make your team better. It's more for fun.
Sometime.
It's more for fun content for us for the show. You get trades in a vacuum kind of thing because Twitter's just has no context for it.
Yep.
And I tend to do it. Rust, I think, just kind of did it all over his TA teams with that, regardless of how good or bad they were. I tend to, when I do it, which I did also do it this past week, and we'll have a couple trades from that. But
nice.
I tend to do it on teams that are a lot more middling. Like, I don't know what to do with them anyway. So I don't mind if Twitter destroys my team one way or the other. So that's what I did. I did it in two leagues, TA7 and TA8, where I'm not great, but not awful. So I figured it wouldn't matter either way. And the two trades that did get through weren't nothing major anyway. So, but let's get to Jonathan's question. He asked, who's a player, rookie or vet, that you're trying to acquire right now in Dynasty? And I know Shane, we were mentioning before the show, overachiever, already put some answers on the sheet. So why don't you go first, Shane?
All right. Am I allowed to answer for the brand?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay. So the for the brand answer is Baker Mayfield. His ADP, and I know ADP isn't necessarily the best for trading talks, but ADP is like QB 18 to QB 22. If you can get him for a QB 22 price in a startup, whether you're trading for that, which would probably be, a second round pick, maybe like a second round rookie pick, I would easily take that for Baker. He's 29 years old. Yeah, I know that's old for Dynasty, but for quarterback, it's really not. His floor is basically QB 18. The 2 years he didn't hit QB 18 where the year he got hurt in Cleveland and then the year that he played on three different teams. Every other year he's been at least QB 18, and last year he finished at his ceiling as QB 10. So I'm buying Baker Mayfield, and then my other two answers that are not for the brand are Bryce Young and Josh Palmer. Bryce Young literally can't get lower. Like, he hit his floor.
Yeah.
There's no way he can get worse. Like, I really believe in Bryce Young. I like what I'm hearing from Canales, especially being in the Carolinas and hearing local radio stuff. Like, everything I'm hearing is that Bryce is getting better and better. And so I really – and he's got weapons this year. Like, that's the my whole point with Bryce is that, like, last year he didn't have a wide receiver that could separate from glue. And – his offensive line was more porous than SpongeBob. Like, he didn't have time to throw. If he did have time to throw, there was nobody open. This year, he's got some guys that I think can actually get open, at least Deontay Johnson, and that's going to help him a ton. And then Josh Palmer just feels like a dirty little secret. Like, he's going to be the wide receiver too in a Justin Herbert-led offense. Yes, I know Greg Roman's come to town and Jim Harbaugh likes to run the ball. Somebody's still got to catch passes at least every once in a while to keep the defense on their toes. And Palmer has that, what, 3 or 4 year chemistry built with Herbert, mm-hmm. where Ladd McConkey's not there yet, but I think McConkey will be the first overall target, but I still want the second target in that offense. And to me, that's easily Josh Palmer.
I like that. I think those are both terrific answers, actually, or all three of those, I guess, are terrific answers if you want to go back.
Really long-winded.
No, that was well done. And I, just to kind of go back on Baker for a second, I put a poll up on Twitter on Sunday, I think it was. And I just because I was telling Rocky before we started, I'm in a couple of startups now for charity and stuff. And there was a poll I posted, which QB do you prefer in Dynasty? Like, not Superflex, not one QB, just like which QB. Settings don't matter, just which one. Will Levis, Bo Nix, and Baker Mayfield. And Baker Mayfield came out on top, 42.4. They're all nice. one by back-to-back-to-back in rankings and ADP and all this. I think a lot of people are taking Will Levis and Bo Nix because of their upside, but I'm right there with you. Baker Mayfield's floor is crazy high. So I love Baker Mayfield at that value, and I love taking him where I can. I did take Levis in one, partially because I didn't have any Levis and it was a QB3. I'm like, hey, let me diversify a little. But overall, I think Mayfield's the answer in a vacuum for sure.
Yeah. I know we're going to talk about it later. Actually, I'll save it for later.
There you go.
But I'll circle back to Baker Mayfield for a later topic.
Okay. Couple guys I was looking at in terms of answering this question. One, Shane referred to in passing. And I haven't acquired a lot of this guy because they already had so damn much. But I really like Deontay Johnson at the price you can get him for. I've mentioned this multiple times on the show this non-point scoring season. But Adam Thielen was a wide receiver one for a lot of last season, while Bryce Young did not have a good season. So if you're assuming a Bryce Young improvement, and Deontay Johnson, it, to me, is a better player now, and I think most of his career has been better, just been in a crappier offense than Adam Thielen. And he's just a target monster. And like Shane said, he's going to get open. So that's what he does. He gets open, he gets targets. You know, they're not always going to be deep targets, but he's going to get a lot of targets. He's going to catch a lot of balls. And like I said, if Bryce Young makes the second year jump that we kind of hope he will, even if he's not a superstar, if he's just a lot more competent than last year, he wasn't even that confident in year one. And like I said, Adam Thielen was producing at a pretty good clip until the second half, like the last third of the year. So he's a guy, and I was looking at the ADP on DLF. He's wide receiver 37. I guarantee you he finishes better than wide receiver 37 if he stays healthy.
Yeah.
And the other guy is one we're going to talk about later, so I'll just mention him real quick. And I mentioned him last week too. Running back, which I know we're not always looking to acquire, but it's starting to get to that time. It's late. It's, you know, late June, mid to late June. We're starting to get the time where you start have to worry about running backs a little bit, at least in the next month or so. If you're not set there already. So, Josh Jacobs is a guy I'm pretty high on. I like the Green Bay offense. I think he's going to get a huge workload. I'm not a big believer in AJ Dillon or Marshawn Lloyd. So, I see Jacobs commanding a lot of volume there. And I think I'm not a believer in Love in the sense that I think he's going to be a superstar, but I am a believer that that's going to be a pretty well-run offense. They have a lot of good receivers, and I think he's going to be the primary running back. He's going to be, and he can catch it out of the backfield if they use him that way, and he can be the touchdown guy. So I like Jacobs a lot, even though that's a little more higher price than a guy like Deontay Johnson. But, Andrew, if you want to comment on either of those two guys, then do you have anybody else?
I think those are both terrific picks. I think mine, I like to go a little deeper because I'm crazy. And some of those guys that are deeper are cheaper, right? And so that's kind of what I like to do. And Theo Johnson's somebody I'm very excited to get. I try to walk away from him from every draft, getting Theo Johnson tight end for the Giants. Obviously, Darren Waller retired to go into music, and more power to him. God, I hope not. That was a joke. But at the same time, Darren Waller is no longer playing football, so he is going to get you zeros for your fantasy team. There is a what I would call a vacuum there in a lot of ways on that offense, and it could be Theo Johnson season as a rookie, which I don't think is a hot take. I mean, it's rare that you see tight ends kind of dominate like this, especially with, you know, he's not getting the same draft capital as like a Kyle Pitts or even a Mark Andrews, for instance, but he's got some of that sparkle to him, right? He's got some of that upside, and so that's somebody I like. And then the other one I was going to mention was Zach Moss on my Bengals. I think a lot of people are not necessarily sleeping on him, but they're kind of giving up on him. And I think a lot of times, too, this time of year, nobody wants to pay for running backs. And so you end up seeing the prices on running backs dip very low in the offseason this time of year. So this is kind of running back buying season for me, right? As we start to look into the season, rookie drafts have ended. You're kind of putting things together. I want to have more running backs than receivers in every single roster, just because, like we talked about the injuries before, you've got some different options of players getting traded or cut or what have you. There's a lot of different movements that happen that could send somebody vaulting into the top 20, not necessarily in dynasty, but in this season. And those points will matter to someone if you don't want them. And I think running back is where you see the biggest turnaround. So I think Zach Moss could be acquired for a second. I've seen that in leagues, and I think that's a very fair price. But at the same time, you might be able to get him for a late second or a third, even depending on the roster. So that's where I'm fine shopping, at that bargain basement barrel kind of spot. That's what I like to do.
I really like the Zach Moss call because I think people forget he was like top five in rushing.
He was real good.
Yeah, at the beginning of it. Yeah, when Taylor was out for like a decent stretch. This wasn't like two games. Yep. And I think he was like top 10 even for a while after Taylor came back. Like he was still in terms of actual yards rushed, not fantasy scoring necessarily. But there's not much else there. It's funny. I wanted to make sure I wasn't forgetting somebody. So I Googled the running backs, and it puts up this little thing that says, I guess it says AI overview, and it has a little write up on Zach Moss, little write up on Chase Brown, then it has Travion Williams, and it says another running back on the Bengals roster. And the other two have like a 26 year old. Blah, blah, blah.
Travion Williams is another running back.
He's still on the roster.
That's not wrong. He is on the roster. Him and Chris Evans both. So, I mean,
yeah,
one of them.
I mean, I know some people. Yeah, I just thought that was funny. But
that's great.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much there. Some people. Yeah. Yeah, some people are hyped on Chase Brown.
That's what I wanted to ask. Is Andrew, if push came to shove, would you prefer Moss over Chase Brown simply because of price? And same thing with Bellinger over Theo Johnson.
Yes. And I think that's really what it comes down to, is I feel like the floors are about the same, and the ceilings are probably even, to be honest, about the same in dynasty on both of those comparisons, but the price is cheaper for Moss and for Theo. And I think if I'm going to get the same output, I'd rather invest, 50 cents than a dollar, right? And yeah, that way I'm not risking as much. I think, too, when it comes to Bellinger, I don't hate Bellinger in that offense. I think there's a chance that maybe he and Theo both get to play. And again, we see rookies, especially the tight end, take a little longer. Sometimes they're asked to block a lot more because, the quarterback's needing help and things like that. It's a different game than college in some regard. But I just think that the talent of Theo Johnson, I saw him play last year in college, was really good. And again, the talent of Zach Moss is really good. So it's not like we're talking about, one guy's a stud and one guy's a dud. I think both of those technically cheaper options could be more valuable in 3 months. And that's the kind of turnaround I like at this time of year.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know if you're hearing any different out there because you are a Bengals fan, but I mean, I think we're going to see Moss get significantly more work than Chase Brown, just because that's a team that's expecting contend. He's a dependable guy. They know what he can do. Chase Brown, I think, is going to mix in and maybe make a big player here or there. But I think
like that you said mix in. That was well done. Like Joe Mixon. mixing it. And Joe Mixon was a top 10 running back the last 3 years, right? I think people might forget that or not remember that. I don't know. And there's a very high likelihood.
A lot of the baseball volume.
Exactly. And they tend to, well, not last year as much, but they tend to, in general, play with the lead, right? Or, you know, you can't stack the box because you got Chase and Higgins. Like, you know, how are we going to put an eighth man in there? Like, so because of all of that narrative-based stuff, if nothing else, there's a great story around Zach Moss being dominant. And honestly, like, he's going at, like, in Dynasty, he's like a RB41 ECR in Fantasy Pros right now. Like, RB41 is not even start-worthy. And I almost guarantee you will start Zach Moss more often than you start Chase Brown in the first 5 weeks of the year, right? Because Chase Brown, if he does become a thing, and I think it's possible, but if he does become a thing, it will be later in the season. Zach Moss, I think, is going to hit the ground running, pun intended.
It's funny. When you said it, made me want to check, because I have the DLF ADP up already from before. Zach Moss is RB41 in DLF ADP as well. And right behind him at RB42 is Chase Brown.
Yep.
So you can, according to the, and then ADP does not always equal trade value. According to this, in theory, you could get them around the same price. I think most people actually are going to want more for Brown.
Slightly, I would more think so too, because than, of that for, rookie hype, right? He's got that upside. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but we can get into our trades now. As we referred to, both Russ and I did outhouse challenges this week. If somehow this is the first time you're ever listening to the show and you don't know what an outhouse challenge is, it's basically me, Russ did this and I did this. We put out to the league and we both did it in a couple leagues at a time. If you you can send us offers, if the offer, I will pull the offer that you send me on Twitter, as long as it's not awful. We both warn people, if it's awful, we will just reject it. But if it's halfway decent, we'll pull it on Twitter. If the side you offer me wins, we will accept the trades. So we both did this week in some different TA leagues. We're going to get to some trades where they did go through. A lot didn't for both of us.
Sure.
But we have several that did. Reminder, though, TA leagues are 12-team PPR Superflex, 1.75 tight end premium. No TA1 trades, I don't think. No, so we can say 0.05 per return yard as well, which may matter a little more this year. But before we get to all those outhouse challenge trades, and there's like six of them, we did have a couple non-outhouse challenge trades. They're fairly small deals, both for running backs. One of them's me, but we'll do those first, and then we'll get into the outhouse challenge trades. So first one was in TA6, very straightforward deal here. Tony Pollard for a 26-second. How are you valuing Tony Pollard right now, Shane? That's kind of what I feel like when I hear Tony Pollard.
That's a real hard question to answer, Rocky, because I've never been a big Tony Pollard guy either. 20-20, I think this is close, but I think I would want just a hair more sprinkled on top because that second is in 2026. Like, because that value is stretched out, I guess technically 2 years from now,
yep.
I think I would want a little bit more on top of Pollard. But if I were buying Pollard, I would definitely throw this out there and hope that it got accepted.
So yeah, see, I'm kind of the other way. I think Pollard is worth more than the 26-second because it's two years out.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But then you said you want more on top of Pollard. I think you meant more on top of the second.
Yeah, I meant more on top of the second.
Yeah, I'd rather have Pollard for sure. I think the points are going to be worth more than the 26-second. And as we always say, right, Rocky, it's a Trade Addicts League. I can get that back. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I can get that pick back. It's 2 years out. And seconds aren't guarantees. And I think Pollard, you know, he's 27, but I think you're still going to be happy with that production for a second, especially 2 years out.
Yeah, I don't think we have to belabor this too much. I'm not big on Pollard either. I think him and Spears could kind of split this thing 50-50. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I'm not sure it's a great offense because I'm not a big Will Levis believer. So I'm not really excited about either. But for a 26-second, sure, why not? Like you, 2 years out, I'm not really that worried about it, especially if it's a second. So I think that's fine. I think it's kind of, I think it's actually pretty fair because I really don't want to pay much for Pollard. If I'm acquiring a running back, I don't want to pay much for him. So
agreed.
But the next one, this one is me. And I guess you can probably guess now after our previous question, which side I got. But TA11, Najee Harris in a 25-second for Josh Jacobs. So, Andrew, what do you think of this one?
I like Jacobs. I got to be honest. Like Najee, I don't hate Najee Harris. I hate his production, and I kind of hate his opportunity. I think he's a good player. I think he's a good guy. I think there's all this, you know, he could be the guy. He just wasn't last year, and I think the team likes Jaylen Warren way more. So if you're telling me I got to add one of those seconds we just talked about, even though if it is a 25-second, to get to Jacobs, who I'm with you, is kind of more of a bell cow, at least one tier, if not multiple tiers ahead of Najee Harris. Even the biggest Najee Harris supporter is going to say, yeah, Jacobs is at least one tier ahead. So to go a tier up from Harris to Jacobs for a second, I think is terrific value. So, yeah, that was a good trade.
And, Shane, I'll give you a little more context than I even gave Andrew, which is that that second is Mayan, and I lost the title game by 2 points. So that's the kind of second we're looking at. So,
I mean, I am probably the biggest Najee supporter. I have a lot of shares of him. I've traded some of them away because I was a little overweight on him. Pun fully intended there. But I was leaning Jacobs even before you added the context that this is probably a really late second. Just because I think Jacobs, like you said, is that tier ahead, but like, factor in the fact of what you already talked about with the Packers offense, it's probably going to be a better offense. Mm-hmm. We don't know what we're getting out of the quarterback position in Pittsburgh yet, whether it's Russ or Fields. I think it should be Russ, but that's another story for another day. And I could be wrong on that. Like Russ could fall flat on his face, but Love is there. They have plenty of weapons to spread that ball around and open up running lanes for Josh Jacobs. So this is easily Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, and that's kind of the way I looked at it. To me, Josh Jacobs is a significant amount ahead of Najee Harris for me. And knowing that I at least expect that 25 set. Like, I say this all the time on the show, too. I don't tend to value – once you get after about pick 18, I feel like even the second back half of the second round in most drafts is a huge crapshoot. Yep. I don't really value late seconds much higher than like a third. Anything past 206 or 7, I don't value much differently than I value a third. And if you're basically telling me Najee and, you know, practically a third for Jacobs, that was an easy call for me. Yeah. And I'm very worried about Jaylen Warren in a way, like I said, that I'm not worried about Dylan or Lloyd. And like you said, the caliber of offense is better, too.
I'm so tired of Jaylen Warren as a Najee owner. Like, I just wanted to go away.
Well, I think there's this Frank puts it in the chat even, like, the Arthur Smith bump, I guess, like, because Bijan was so good. I don't believe it. I wish, but no.
Okay, and we're going to get into another running back trade here because we're going to do my outhouse challenge trades first because I only got two that ended up
hosting. Duh.
Plus, I only got two that ended up being accepted. The people were able to swindle Russ out of more than they were able to swindle me out of. So this is exactly the Pollard trade. So maybe I'll ask you too how you compare this guy to Pollard. But one of the ones that did get through that Twitter voted for is I was offered James Conner for a 2026 second, and James Conner won the poll 56-44. I guess, like I said, I almost kind of want to talk about this in terms of Connor versus Pollard, since we already talked about kind of this level running back versus the 26 second. So, Shane, what do you think? Do you think Trey Benson just completely takes over there? Do you think Connor still produces a decent season? What do you think?
Why are you going to ask the tough questions?
And where do you have Connor in relation to Pollard, I should ask as well.
I need to go look at my actual rankings. I should have had that pulled up.
I mean, you don't have to give me act, but just like, would you rather have Connor over Pollard? Rather have Pollard over Connor?
Neither.
For being honest? Yes.
That's an answer, I guess.
Yeah. To answer your first question, I don't think Trey Benson will fully take over early on. I do think towards the latter half of the season, we'll see more of Trey Benson than we are James Conner. Just because at this point, Conner is getting up there in age. He's getting up there in usage. with his time in Pittsburgh when Lev Bell was out, and then moving to Arizona. And he's always had injury issues, probably due to the cancer that he went through. Like, it's just natural that his body is weaker. So I think long-term, Benson will definitely be the answer. But I think if you're a contender, I definitely want Connor this year. And that's kind of how I'm looking at this trade. It's like, if I'm a contender, I want Connor. If I'm not, or if I want to start moving towards that rebuild, I want the second here.
Yeah, and I kind of wanted the second. I'm trying to move towards more of a – I'm very, very middle. I got a bunch of Connor types on my team already that I really need to get off to try and move more towards that rebuild. But because I did this outhouse challenge, I ended up getting Connor. I kind of agree with you, though. I think – I do think Connor especially – and maybe I can sell him at this point, like in September, because I do think he will start the year as a heavy 1A to Trey Benson's 1B. We see it almost all the time, unless it's like a like Saquon Barkley level running back, or Bijan or something like that. And then we even kind of saw it to a little bit extent with him. Like, you always see that veteran getting the run early, like in the first 6 to 8 weeks. Like, I remember back to like when Nick Chubb came in, everyone was worried about Carlos Hyde was getting way more run than him and stuff like that.
There's a name I haven't heard in a while. Nice.
Stuff like that. I mean, it happens every year. To like the majority of rookie running backs before they really get going. So my hope now actually is, now that this happened, that maybe I can sell. I can maybe sell Connor for at least a 26 second if he gets off to a good start on this team, if I want to move back towards that rebuild. But I think I would probably, in terms of that question I asked about him versus Pollard, that's tough. I think I would slightly prefer Connor, but I think I'm like you, neither. But just because I think he's got more, like you said, in that first half of the year, more high-end upside where maybe you can move off of him, where I'm not sure Pollard is going to have that at any point this year.
I think for Pollard, what it's going to come down to is whether or not that Tennessee offensive line plays well. Because I think they have a lot of weapons in that offense. But it's not going to matter if the offensive line sucks, because then Will Levis isn't going to have time to make decisions. And I think Will Levis is one of those guys that probably needs more time to process those and make the right decision.
Okay, and Andrew, what about you? Connor versus the second, Connor versus Pollard, whichever angle you
want to. I want Pollard over all of these assets, to be honest. I think Pollard is the longest possible RB1 of the group. I was even looking at, you know, like, is Zach Moss, we were talking about Zach Moss, is he worth a second and things like that, right? Like, so I would even put him on this, like, and say, well, I'd rather have Pollard over Moss, right? But if it's Connor or Moss, I'd probably rather have Moss. I just think he's got more, you know, future in him. And that's just speculation. That's purely on vibes. But that's what seconds are too, right? I think the other angle you could look at this and say is now the best time to sell Connor? Are you going to be able to get more than a second for Connor? I don't know. I really, it's maybe not. I don't think you're ever going to get a first for him, even if he dominates.
Right. I don't think you're ever.
You might be able to get like 2 seconds. Like, you might be able to get 26 second and a 27 second or something crazy like that, you know, come week two from a contender. Is it worth holding and getting that extra value? Maybe, but you could also get less. You know, he could get hurt in preseason, or, I mean, we could see Benson dominate and then Connor becomes the backup right away and you get nothing. So I totally get the logic of getting out now if you don't need the running back. So I don't hate any of these, but I will say I would rather have Pollard than all of the assets discussed, right? And just, I think you're the safest with Pollard, and then maybe the seconds come after that, I guess.
Yeah, and as Frank mentioned in the chat, Pollard does have the contract. So
yeah,
he's probably got the most security, at least in terms of a spot anyway. Like, I still, like I said, I could see Connor getting more usage at least this year, or at least the first half of this year, than Pollard. But Pollard's probably got a little more, a year ahead, like over Connor, in terms of just being at least like in an even split or something like that. But the next one we're going to do, the other one that got through, was in TA by a trade sent to me by Tyler in TA8. This was an interesting one. When he sent it, I thought this might get through, and I wasn't sure how to feel about it, but it is. And this one was, let me see what it is first. Ricky Pearsall and a 2025 second for a 2026 first. And I think people were realizing that 2026 picks are going to be devalued, which is why I got multiple 2026 pick trades in here. And it won the Ricky Pearsall side, which is what was offered to me, won 56% to 44%, 103 votes. And somebody in the comments put Ricky Pearsall greater than a 2026 first by himself. I'm not sure about that.
I saw that.
but what do you think on this one, Shane?
All right.
I think I actually lean the first. And I know it's in 2026, so it is a little devalued, but I don't have the extra special sauce context that I do this time, so I don't know if it's the late second. But with Pearsall, like even with the Brandon Ayuk kind of news of him potentially being on the outs, like to me that's just going to scream more Debo, more Kittle, and more CMC, or even more Elijah Mitchell in the running game, to the point where like – and I don't know if I have a single share of Pearsall, just because at that point in the draft, I kind of prefer other people, and other people Same. Seem to keep falling in drafts where I was like, I'm going to take them over Ricky Pearsall every time. So I think I lean the first because of that, but I understand why people probably picked Pearsall in the second.
Yeah, and I kind of – I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just going to say real quick. So the logic that I'm going with on this is there are some leagues that value Pearsall as like an early second. I don't know if I've seen him go in the first anywhere yet, except for maybe in one QB leagues. But obviously this is a super flex, so that's out. But even if you count Pearsall as like a second round pick and a 25 second, like 2 seconds for a 26 first, I still think that sounds reasonable as long as you can guarantee that 26 first isn't a top three or top four pick, right? And even then, like, I'd rather have the points and take the bird in the hand versus two in the bush, you know, and just kind of say, give me these two dart throws and you're going to get them before that six. So I like the value side of it, but I also see why people would pick the first, and I'm not upset with that. I think Pearsall, even if he's nothing, has got hype on his name right now, and you can flip him. And to me, that's more important than the 26 first, which has no hype.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I think I mentioned we could bring this up later. Ayuk news, I think, maybe makes Pearsall even a little more interesting, particularly right now.
Perception is reality.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't need to do anything.
He was a good guy to throw for Tyler to throw in the trade because it's, you know, and it's been basically all non-point scoring season where it seems like Ayuk is going to be out of there, but he keeps hanging around. But if he does go, Pearsall's value could jump up even before he produces. I originally was kind of hoping this wouldn't get through. Now I'm kind of hoping that's what happens, that Ayuk gets traded, and maybe Pearsall has a good game or two, and I can trade him for a 2026 first. Free second.
There you go. Exactly. I like it. That's very possible. And you could even trade it for a better 26 first. You know what I mean? Like, trade it for to a worse team, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah. So, and the second actually is not that great either, which I did not give context in the poll. Maybe I should have. It's a team that was a playoff team in 2024. They did not win the whole thing, I don't think.
More context, they were a playoff
team. Yeah. but yeah, so I'm kind of thinking that it's possible Pearsall could become a 26 first if Ayuk leaves and he has to get thrust in there a little more, and he could get that value. And then, like I said, if I want him, either I can keep him and maybe he's good, or I could try and move off him for a 2026 first at some point.
Well, I'm curious, before we go to Russ's picks, how many offers did you get? Do you know? Like, did you get, like, out of...
I didn't count them.
Out of how many? Like, 10? Like, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd say it was 8 to 10.
Okay, because I know when I did mine back in April...
It was only two leagues I did, yeah.
I did mine across all of my leagues. I put it out on Twitter, and I said, if you're following me and we're in a league together, count this as it's open. And I said, you know, send me anything that you want to do. And I said, basic rules apply of, like, you can't send six offers for the same guy. You know what I mean? Like, and once you send one and it loses, you can't send another one, like that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Just because that's just gaming the market. That's not what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
But I had 28 offers sent to me in a week. In a day.
Wow.
I only did it for one day, and I had 28 offers sent to me. Six of them got accepted, which was entertaining. There was one, it was a best ball league. This is the one I'll share because it blew my mind. But I sent Joe Burrow in league for Kirk Cousins, 25 first, second, third, 26 first, second, third. And the outhouse challenge said take the picks and Kirk Cousins, and I was just like, I'm losing my boy Burrow. It's a best ball league and it's an auction league with John Bosch, you know, Fog of War and all that. So I'm like, I don't mind having the extra money in the rookie drafts, but which actually helped my team because I was very top heavy. So I was like, well, that stinks. But also, that was one of those that I was like, well, I'm really sad about this one coming through, but I got to honor the thing. So that's kind of where I was going to land on this too, is that even on this one, if you didn't like it, it's not the end of the world, but those bigger trades, when those get accepted, that which we can kind of get into that next, if you want, as a segue, some of these trades, you're looking at them, you're like, holy smokes, that's a big trade. And it just leave it up to Twitter. Ooh, it's ballsy. Yeah.
I like that one that you, even less, the Burrow trade, like what you were getting, knowing those picks are rookie. I am a big anti-rookie auction person, so I don't think the pick to money conversion ever works out the way it should, and that you often get screwed. You can get screwed one way or the other. Like, you can, if you earn the 101 and you don't have a bunch of other picks, there's a chance you're not getting the 101 because you won't have enough money from the 101.
Yep.
But also, if you have 8 seconds, you could have the equivalent of the 101. I don't like the way rookie money conversions usually work.
No, I get that. And I didn't put much of that in the tweet because I felt like it just gets too convoluted.
Yeah.
People don't read it anyway. Right. So part of it was, I kind of wanted to see in that logic, like, would all of those picks, even if they were just picks, would that be enough? And I had an overwhelming amount of people that were like, yeah, that's enough. So I just wanted to put that out there before we pivot to Russ's. Like, sometimes, again, like, I got a ton of offers in my inbox, which was great. And I got 6 trades done in across 5 different leagues, which was great. You know what I mean? Like, anything to move the needle is worth it to me. So, yes, it is stressful. I get that. But, man, I tell you what, if you can just ride the lightning, it's also a lot of fun.
Okay, so we do have Russ's here. I think he's got 4 of them that
went through. Yeah.
And he gave us little comments on each one, so I'll give them as well. But
he had some big ones.
He had some big ones to go through, unlike me. Part of that's probably because my teams weren't that good, so there wasn't a lot of big stuff to go through. But this first one is in TA5. It was traded. Well, he ended up trading Tua, Bowers, and Pollard. Brock Bowers, Tony Pollard, there he is again. For Lamar Jackson and Nick Chubb, Lamar's side won the poll 55.7 to 44.3. And Russ says, I get that the answer is Lamar, which I'm not 100% sure I agree with, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But he says, and I'm happy I got Lamar, but I was just kind of sad to lose a TA share of Bowers because it is 1.75 premium.
Yeah.
So, Shane, what are your thoughts on this one?
I actually lean the Tua side.
See, that's what I think too.
I love Nick Chubb. Like, Nicholas J. Chubb is probably one of my favorite players in the NFL. He's the most pure rusher, I think, from a running back standpoint. The injury is a giant concern, especially at his age and how he's been used. So I think the difference between him and Pollard is probably not huge. The difference between Tua and Lamar is a tier feels large. Let's say like half a tier, maybe 3/4 of a tier. Just because Lamar's ceiling is so high with the rushing. But Brock Bowers is so freaking good. I think you both know I'm an Auburn fan when it comes to college football. One of our biggest rivals is Georgia. I've watched a lot of Brock Bowers. That kid is good at football. He's going to, like, I don't care. He's going to be able to beat out the stupidity of the Raiders, I think, because he's just that damn good at football.
We hope. Yeah.
With the 1.75 premium, like, I think with kind of how I have Tua versus Lamar and Chubb versus Pollard, Bowers pushes that over the edge for me for that side.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. And maybe I overvalue Tua too much because Russ and I are both big Tua guys.
I am too.
And I get Lamar. I do value Lamar over Tua. And it's probably a tier above. But like you said, Bowers makes up that difference for me. And I am not putting a lot of value on Chubb here. Like, if he's actually Chubb, like Nick Chubb. By the way, I wasn't sure if you were making that up. I love that his name actually is Nicholas J. Chubb. I didn't know if you actually knew his middle initial. You were just, you know,
yeah, that was just smooth, Shane. Like,
but I have serious doubts in his age that he's ever going to be what we saw before.
Yeah.
After that, you know, another major knee injury. So I hope so. But I am just assuming not at this point. So to me, the Chubb part is like negligible to me. So it's basically Tua, Bowers, and Pollard for practically Lamar alone in my eyes. And not that I'm putting a lot of value on Pollard, but I'm putting a ton of value on Bowers. I'm with you. I think it doesn't matter that he went to the Raiders. I think he's and maybe not year one, he's going to just be lights out or anything. But I think he's eventually going to overcome the Raiders. Maybe they get an actual legit quarterback in there. Who knows? But the drop off from Lamar to Tua is not far enough that I need to add Bowers and even Pollard to that. So I'm kind of on that side, even though Twitter is not. What about you, Andrew?
I'm on Lamar's side, but I'm not, you know, crazy high on it. I think it's one of those trades that I'd rather have the best player and I'd rather consolidate. Like, I get the logic here. I know that Bowers is talented. I certainly hope that he can withstand the idiocy of that front office and what happens on the Raiders, but I don't know that. Tua, I think, is maybe a little bit under and overvalued somehow at the same time. Lamar is just a lock, stock, and barrel, you know, solid guy. And I'd really rather have the known commodity of Lamar. So I think part of what I think Russ is saying is, like, I know the answer is Lamar because, of course, it's the best player in the trade. Tua has question marks. Bowers has question marks. Pollard and Chubb are kind of equal to me in my mind because I think Chubb could come back and dominate. Pollard could be the 1B. We just don't know for those guys.
Yeah, I would have Pollard over Chubb just because I don't
I do too, Chubb but to actually I feel like
ever be a thing again.
I do too, but I'm saying like neither one of them are moving the needle for me. Like to make the deal, like if Chubb and Pollard were removed and you just took it Lamar for Tua and Bowers, I'd still probably take Lamar. But I get that it's close, and you're adding a lot more question marks with Chubb, obviously. But for me, I'd rather have the potentially number, let's say top three quarterback maybe in Dynasty, and you can flip him for more. So I just feel like the value is on the Lamar side. I get his point.
And just in defense of anybody who is not saying Bowers doesn't make up that, Kyle Pitts cannot overcome the idiocy of Arthur Smith. So there is that.
So I'm glad you brought that up. I don't have the tweet pulled up, but somebody tweeted out the comparison of Kyle Pitts and Brock Bowers' college careers.
Mm-hmm.
Brock Bowers smoked Kyle Pitts, pulled him out of the smoker, checked to make sure he was done, and then put him back in and smoked him some more.
Love the way you put that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So on that note, we'll move to the next trade, which was Jordan Addison for Brian Thomas Jr. and A.D. Mitchell. The rookie side won basically 2-1, 66.4 to 33.6. So that's the side Russ ended up getting. He said, I really like Addison, and I think he should have won the poll, but this was fine.
That was my question that I
asked. Oh, okay. I was like, okay. Yeah, oh. Donnie Mitchell, yes.
I didn't see it in the tweet. I guess I'll just jump into my answer here. I agree with Russ. I lean Addison on this one. As y'all are probably both going to just be like, what? As a Jaguars fan now, I really like Brian Thomas Jr., but I don't know if I like him enough to make up the difference between him and Addison with just Adonai Mitchell. Did I word that right? I think I worded that right.
Yes,
I think you did. Yeah, you did. And I'm right there with you. Just to jump in on that too, I think Addison is as much of a known commodity as you're going to get when it comes to first year players. Yeah. I think he's a fine wide receiver too, both on his team and for fantasy. I think that's probably where he's going to be forever. You're hoping Thomas and Mitchell are wide receiver twos, and so you're taking two dart throws. And I get the logic there of breaking Addison up into two potential same valued guys. But the floor is lower on those two, too. And, I mean, rookies don't always hit, and we've seen it time and time again where it's just, why not take the guy you know? So this is one of those, like, if you're looking to you know, move your roster around and like try to get, add some upside, definitely take the two rookies. I agree. But if you're looking at pure value and kind of points, I think Addison has a better chance of making your lineup week in, week out. But again, I think this is a, I like Addison. I think he should have won the poll. Was a perfectly put Russ comment. Yeah. Like I would have rather had Addison out of these two as well. So again, Twitter strikes and you get the two rookies. Deal with it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you guys. I would rather have Addison over the rookies as well. I think you said it well, Andrew. He's a number two on his team, and, but I think he can still be a number two. I mean, he's going to need J.J. McCarthy to be for real. But if that's the case, as long as he has a quarterback, and I'm shameless making a face, I'm not 100% sure J.J. McCarthy is going to be for real. But but if he is, I think he definitely has. He can be a consistent wide receiver too, even with Justin Jefferson on the other side of him. Like I said, the big question is the quarterback play. But I have a hard time just buying into Brian Thomas Jr. and Donnie Mitchell. Like basically any rookies that we're talking about, the back half of the first into the second. You know, there's certain guys I'm going to like, certain guys I'm not going to, but I just think there's big bust potential for everybody there. And I'd rather take, like you said, Addison might not be a stud, but to me, he's more of a known, and I'd rather take the known.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, so we'll move to the next one, which is, and this is a smaller deal before we get to the blockbuster Russ finished off with. Daniel Jones and a 25-3rd for a 25-2nd. Russ said, oh, Jones in the third won easily, 71% to 29%. He said, I saw this offer come in and thought, ugh, I can't believe you're going to make me take Daniel Jones, which I get. But I guess Twitter figured he's a starting quarterback, and that's worth more than the second, especially when you throw a third on top of him. But do you agree, Shane?
Yeah, I completely agree. I'll keep this one short. This is gross. Daniel Jones, from a value standpoint and like being a starting quarterback, should have won this. But I think I'd just to get Daniel Jones off my roster, I want the second.
that's kind of how I feel. Like I'd want no parts of Daniel Jones, man. But I do kind of feel like you almost like he's pretty much guaranteed to be the starter this year and most likely make it through the entire year. And he did get a nice weapon to add there in Malik Nabers too. Although he did lose a nice weapon in terms of the offense and Saquon Barkley. So, but yeah, I feel value wise it has to be Jones, but I just don't want Jones either. Just like Russ didn't, just like you didn't. And is that where you're at, Andrew?
I want Jones. Are you kidding me? Like, I'll take a starting quarterback. You know how many times that comes in handy, even if you're not contending, and all you got to do is trade back around, right? Like, you're giving up a second and you're getting a third in Jones. It's not going to be the same pick. You could be trading from the 210 to the 303 and getting Jones. Like, what are we doing, guys? I understand that we hate Jones. I get it. But what are we doing? Like, this is overthinking it to the 12th degree. He's not that bad. I don't understand what the angle is here. Like, yeah, he was hurt last year. The Giants are terrible. I get that. But I can guarantee you can get more than this in October when people start looking at lineups a lot more and start worrying about their lineups and start looking at the future of things. Like, this is ridiculous. What are we doing?
Honestly, you could probably trade Jones for a second in October.
And I'm saying that is exactly right. But also, I've seen some trades go down in leagues. I was actually just at the OHFF draft a week and a half ago now, and some guys in that league, I won't drop names, but some of the guys in that league were talking live, and they were like, one of them has Daniel Jones, and he's like, please, somebody take Daniel Jones off my roster, much like you guys were saying. And somebody else in the league was like, I'll give you a second for him. And he was like, done. And he sent the trade. And the guy was like, wait, what am I missing? Like, you know, what news? Because we're, you know, drinking at a bar doing a live draft. And he's like, let me think on this, you know? And he ended up accepting the trade later on in the day. And I was like, good, you should. That's a terrific guy. I almost signed it myself. Like, what the hell are we doing here? Like, you can't buy a starting quarterback for a second most times. And for some reason, everybody hates Daniel Jones now. I mean, I get some of why, but come on. Like, now, he's not that bad. He's not dead. Let's go. Well, I'm just saying, even if you hated him before, I don't know what's changed. What's made him worse than a year ago?
Darren Waller and Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, he lost some players. He's added some players as well.
They'll probably trash.
I'm not scared of Locke. I'm more scared of Tyrod Taylor than anything else. But what I'm getting at in all of this is, like, he obviously got a big contract. I don't think the team can walk away from him, at least this year. Like you said, Rocky, he's a starter most likely this whole year. Do you know where he's going in ECR, like in rankings on Fantasy Pros? This is going to, you guys are going to laugh at this. Right ahead of Daniel Jones at QB 31, which again, not terrible. Right ahead of him is Aaron Rodgers, Dynasty ECR QB 30. Right behind him is Derek Carr at 32. I'd much rather have Jones than Carr, and I'd much rather have Rodgers than Jones. You know what I mean? Like, I don't get what we're doing here. And then behind Carr is Russell Wilson, who we were just talking about, who might not even start with Justin Fields. Like, Daniel Jones is the easy pick there. Michael Penix is going ahead of him. I get why Michael Penix is going ahead of him, but Michael Penix might never start a game ever. Like, what are we doing here, guys? Like, I get that it's the shiny new toy, but I want the 15 points on my Superflex some weeks. That's fine with me. Give me all the Daniel Jones.
Okay, I will. You can have all the
Daniel Jones. That's my hot take, apparently. Yeah.
Take him.
Okay. And Frank corrected me. Tyrod is a Jet, not on the Giants this year. But I'm saying I'm more worried about other people than Drew Locke. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I think it's Locke and DeVito he has to worry about.
I'm not worried about either of them. Yeah.
But we will finish off with the big trade that got through, which this
We've
the result
for this.
Shocked Russ, which we're going to get to in a minute. Also shocked me the lopsidedness of this one.
Yeah.
But it was Justin Jefferson and J.J. McCarthy for Jalen Hurts and Brian Robinson. The double J.J.'s won 87% to 13%. Russ's comments was, I was flabbergasted by these results. My guest was flabbered.
He says I would
prefer Hurts in this deal. I had a feeling the JJs might win, but I thought it'd be close. It's insane how far apart it is, which I agree with.
87 to 13. Like, yeah, just not overwhelmingly the JJs.
And everyone who commented on the poll said easily the JJ side. Russ doesn't get it. Either people are way too low on Hurts, or acting like McCarthy is the thing already. People are way too high on J.J. McCarthy, which I agree. Although, I mean, maybe they're just super, super high on Justin Jefferson, which is no reason not to be, I guess. But I guess that means you're buying into J.J. McCarthy, though. So I guess Russ has a point there. But Shane, what are your thoughts here on this crazy result today?
I'm so glad you asked me that. So glad. I completely agree with Russ here. People are way, way, way too confident on J.J. McCarthy. So this is what I wanted to bring up earlier. I saw a poll similar to Andrew's where it asked, who do you want in Dynasty? And the options were Bryce Young, Baker Mayfield, and J.J. McCarthy. Do you know what percentage Baker Mayfield had out of those three?
I'm guessing the worst.
12%. Yeah.
12% is extremely close. Well, at least when I voted. I don't know how the poll actually finished. It was 11% when I voted.
Whew.
Youth, Shane.
Yep.
Baker's only 29. Like, that was my point. It's like, one, Baker's only 29. Two, I already talked about Baker. But, like, even, and people kept hitting me with, like, oh, he finishes QB10. Like, looking at season long is a farce.
Yeah.
Looking at his points per game is a farce too. He was 1 point per game away from finishing his QB 13 in points per game. Baker was last year. He had two games that were single digits, and one of those was in week 18. Well, I don't know why I just popped up balloons, but that was kind of cool.
I think if you do this on iPad, it does like a celebration thing.
So, I didn't, and my point more with that poll is I didn't understand the lopsidedness of it, of Baker only getting 11% and JJ and Bryce getting 89%. I am not that bought in on JJ McCarthy. The kid has talent. I'll give you that. But he didn't throw enough, and Michigan didn't use him in a way that made me confident enough to believe, hey, this guy's going to be able to lead a passing first offense that is capable of supporting multiple fantasy relevant options. He's got great weapons. He's set up probably the second best out of the rookie quarterbacks that got drafted behind Caleb. I think and that's going off the top of my head. But the overwhelming confidence that people have in J.J. McCarthy is mind-boggling to me. Like, my flabber is gasted also, Russ. I do not understand it. It's driving me insane. If you have J.J. McCarthy on your roster and someone is high on him or was, like, pissed that you drafted him, go trade him for what you – like, what his market value is, and I think you will be better off for it because I think I see him being one of those players that gets hyped up and hyped up and hyped up throughout the offseason, and then he's going to have a stinker of a game or two, especially as a rookie. I'm just not bought in on it. Like, yes, the double JJ side, I think should have won, but it should have been way freaking closer because Jalen Hurts has the potential to finish as QB1 overall. Like, with his rushing upside, he's got that ability. It's hard. Like, it's always going to be hard because of how good Josh Allen is and how good Lamar is, but the potential is there. I don't see J.J. McCarthy finishing, I don't know where. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think Justin Jefferson is carrying a lot of this 87% more so. Even more so, I think people are looking at Justin Jefferson, and you get a young starting quarterback.
Yes.
For Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
But I agree with Russ, and I think you were kind of saying this as well, that people must be too low on Hurts. He did have a little bit of a bad second half, especially last year.
Yeah.
Turned the ball over too much, wasn't producing as much. But this offense, if they can get back on track, and everything fell apart in the second half of last year for the Eagles.
Their defense was trash. Sorry.
Yes, it was.
I know you're an Eagles
fan. And the offense wasn't that great either the second half of the year. But this offense has so much potential, and it's the entire offense is locked up for like the next 2 to 3 years. Like, A.J. Brown's locked up, Devontae Smith is locked up, Saquon Barkley is locked up, and Hurts is locked up. And I'm not sure about Goddard, but he's locked up for at least another year, I think, after this one. So, I mean, basically all these talented guys are locked in there, and none of them are old.
Well, so, and Goddard was hurt a lot last year, right? If I remember
a little bit, yeah, I think he missed five-ish games, something like that. But yeah, I mean, I just think they're just from a passing angle, there's so much potential there, and then you add Jalen Hurts rushing on top of it. I think he was a little down last year compared to the year before when he was a borderline MVP candidate. It wasn't MVP candidate; he was borderline MVP. Of the NFL. So I just think people are too down on Hurts. And like you said, I do think J.J. McCarthy, probably people are a little too high on. Devil's advocate, I will say he's in a great situation with all the weapons he has around him. And like you said, I could see – I'm not even sure which – I think this is actually a pretty even trade, which is why the 87-13 is the biggest
surprise.
Not that the J.J.'s won, but the margin. I think I would – probably lean the JJ's too, like you said, but it would be like 51-49 to me. And if I have Hurts, I might even reject it. I don't know. But just in a vacuum, I think I lean the two JJ's. But like I said, much, much closer, like you said. So
I want to jump in here too and just kind of say, not that it matters, but the value is on the JJ side, right? Even if you don't like JJ McCarthy, even if you think that the hype is too much, the world kind of believes that, and his value right now is there. And so plugging this into DTC, just to kind of get an idea, it was pretty much 70 for the Hurts and B-Rob side and 77 for the JJ side. So that's 10% extra, right? Like, you're getting a 10% value boost. That feels right to me too, right?
And but I think not that's 87 about, but not 87.
Yeah, exactly.
What I'm saying is if it's a 10% difference in value, then most people are seeing that 10% is a big amount of value to add, and that's why the poll is so lopsided. This poll is not saying it should be 55-45. It's saying that everybody agrees that the value is on the JJ side. And I think that's even to Russ's point where, like, a lot of people are commenting, like, it's easily the JJ side. I agree it's easily the JJ side. I completely agree. I think Hurts is being overvalued, and this is still easily the JJ side.
Easily the JJ side.
No, I'm saying I do. JJ. I'm saying I do. I know. You guys had your time. You got it. You got to say all the stuff about how bad JJ is. I don't care how good or bad JJ is. If the world thinks he's good and I can make this trade for Hurts, I'm doing this in a heartbeat, and I'm trading away JJ McCarthy, like you guys said. And I'm landing now with, I don't know, let's say I get Baker Mayfield on that team now. And I'm not unhappy with getting Justin Jefferson, right? Like, there's plenty of good values at QB still, even if you're losing Jalen Hurts. So again, I'm just looking at it like Jefferson just signed a big contract. You get the stack. Hell, maybe you could trade the two of them for Lamar and Chubb, like we were talking about before.
I was thinking I'm fine probably with that. If JJ's get valued that much, I'm probably trading JJ for quarterback some Baker plus or something.
Well, and, like, and so again, just to kind of put it in perspective, right? So we've got JJ McCarthy ECR right now in Dynasty is QB 18, right ahead of Jared Goff. Give me Goff in a first every day. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that to me is a painfully obvious value switch.
The same Baker in a first. Like,
well, and again, Baker is at 24, so you might be able to get more than a first. Maybe you get a first and a player, a first and a second on top. But that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, you don't need to like McCarthy to like a trade. And I think sometimes that's where the outhouse challenge can be helpful, because my biases going into this would be like, man, I don't really want to give up Hurts for that. I don't like McCarthy, yada, yada. But if this is a really easy way to determine value, granted, it's in a vacuum. There's no context. It's random Twitter people who don't maybe know anything, right? But that the whole point of this is to find the value in the market, and it is easy as possible to do that. And it's a small sample size, right? I mean, this one had more than the others, but 114 votes. It wasn't like it was 3,000 votes or anything, right? So, but I'm just saying, like, all of that aside, I get why your flabber was gassed, Rust. I totally get it. But at the same time, I am happy to make this trade in the outhouse challenge and say, all right, well, I'm out of Hurts. Now I have a new problem to solve, which is how do I get rid of JJ McCarthy and how much can I get for him? And I love that. That's the other benefit of these kinds of trades, is that I would never send this, but I'll happily accept it and now deal with a new world where I've got a 10% value bump. Because my biases say otherwise. Well, the market says this. I'll take the 10% bump and then move McCarthy for another 5%. Now I've helped my team twice. Like, why not?
And by the way, that last part is what Russ and I have said about one of the fun things about doing the outhouse challenge is it then can lead to more trading, trying to get out of what Twitter puts you into. So if you don't like JJ McCarthy, then you now have an opportunity to make another trade. You know, you trade JJ McCarthy for something.
And how is that a bad thing? Right? We're exactly. Addicts. Let's go.
But that is the end of our show sheet. So that is the end of our show. I want to thank Andrew for filling in for us tonight. Especially thanks Shane for coming on tonight. Really enjoyed talking with Shane this week. Shane, why don't you remind everybody again who you are, what you do, where they can find what you do, and all the good stuff about Polly's.
Yeah, thank you. This was so much fun. I love this show. Anytime you need me, just shoot me a message. But you can follow me on Elon Musk's funhouse, at FFShaneB. You can follow the tournament and show account at Polly's Playoff. And sign up for Polly's Playoff at polly'splayoff.com. You still have, we'll call it an hour roughly, to get in on the contest that I am running for a DeAndre Swift jersey giveaway. So if you sign up within the next hour and send me a screenshot of your donation, you get entered to win a signed DeAndre Swift jersey. And again, just go to polly'splayoff.com, scroll to the bottom of the page, fill out the form, and there's like a 99% chance that you're going to be in the tournament too. So I'm not as lucky as Scott Fish to be as selective. I need more people. So come on. And then you can find written work and some old podcasts, as well as my rankings at rotoheat.com.
Okay, and that'll just get us to finishing up with some of our stuff. I am at Dynasty FF at Andrew's Andrew Hall FF. Of course, Russ is at Dynasty Outhouse. Make sure you're following the DAP Network so you can hear all our shows. You can subscribe to our Patreon. Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You can see Shane's beautiful house in the background there with his piano and all this other stuff. and as well as Andrew's beautiful face that we record here. and of course you get the access to the Cool Kids Club chat with a lot of smart people talking trades and all a bunch of stuff in there. And finally, just make sure that you are following Fantasy Cares, supporting Fantasy Cares. Russ is doing tons of stuff with them constantly, and they are doing tons of good stuff for charity and doing SFB stuff if you're looking to get into SFB still. So just make sure you are supporting them in any way you can. But that'll pretty much do it for tonight. So good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to the Great Attic Podcast, a proud member in the Dynasty Attic Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Attic. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Attic Podcast. Poopy Pants. That is the best. See ya.